It's like we're in the middle of a big garden that is ready to be harvested. And if you haven't noticed it, lift up your eyes and look up on the fields, because it's happening. And you may not see it as much, so much, if you're not, if you're busy a lot and you're not really tapped into some of those moments of really looking around to see what's happening. But there is a key that the Lord is going to supply for us to bring a lot of people to Him. Not just to build up this church. Who knows how many churches we'll fill up. But it's a matter of just winning the lost to God. And they're ready to be won. We just need to roll up our sleeves and go for it. And let me read a scripture. In John, Jesus was talking to His disciples and some followers one day, and He talked about some things that they didn't quite understand. We go to this chapter a lot, the 14th chapter. Especially a lot of times we like to talk about the fact that God is one God, and He's not divided, He's not separated, He's not split up into three parts. Although He does show Himself, He does proclaim Himself to us as the Father in creation, and as the Son in redemption, and as the Holy Ghost in the church and in demonstration in our lives. So we know who the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. And God has showed us in His Word how to sort it out. We don't have to seek out man's opinion or man's tradition, especially when the tradition comes from those who have not even obeyed His Word. When we obey His Word, we get the power to know who He is. His children know who He is. His children can read His voice, His Word, and hear what He is saying with his knowledge to the church. So in the 14th chapter of John, and Jesus is talking to His disciples, saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." In this part, He's not saying you do believe in God, but you need to give Me equal belief. He's not saying believe in God and me too, in the way that we might say you believe in my daddy, so you need to believe in me too. What He's saying, you believe in God, and I want to show you who God is as you believe in Me. I want to reveal God to you. He's not trying to compete with God. That's what I'm trying to say. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. He's saying something to them, and I think we can receive this from Jesus today. We know some things. In fact, we know enough to make it. We know what it takes. We being the people who know. I may be talking, you know, here with some who are a bit confused maybe, or some who don't know for sure, or some who may have a lot of questions. But when I say we know, maybe I should say it this way. There are many of us who have found the way, and we know some things. And whatever we know, you can know too. So we know, or by faith, I can say we all know. There's no reason why, if I can learn things that I've learned, that you can't learn it also. So Jesus, as He was saying these words, one of the disciples answered with a question, said, "Lord," Thomas said, "we know not where you're going." And Jesus had just told him, "You do know." He was saying, "Where I go, you know, and the way, you know." He'd been teaching them out there under the stars over and over and telling them things, but it was just going past them over their heads. But yet, when He said, "You know it," He knew that they knew it. They just didn't know they knew it. They didn't understand what they knew. And so Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the part I want us to kind of get deep in our minds today, rather than talking so much about Father, Son, Holy Ghost, oneness of God versus Trinity beliefs. This is not what this is about today. It's talking about something beyond all of that. I mean, we can waste a lot of time debating issues that will never get resolved in people's minds. You're not going to know God, who He really is, and how He really is manifested until you really want Him with all your heart. And then He reveals Himself and tells you, you already really know. You may be seated. Amen. So Jesus said, in response to how can we know? How can we know? And His answer was, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And this has been proven so many ways through the centuries, so many ways, in so many lives, so many generations, so many people have found out that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. It's not because He's a separate God. It is because He is God manifest. And God has manifested Himself in many ways. It was God who walked with the three Hebrew children through the fire that we read about in the Old Testament when they refused to bow to any other God except the true God. God Himself walked in the fire and kept the three Hebrew children from burning up in that fire. That was God walking in the fire. But God wasn't just limited to that furnace. God wasn't in the fire and not anywhere else. God was in the fire, but He was also everywhere else. See, the God we serve is a big God. And He can show Himself and make Himself visible in ways where a person can look upon something that has the power of God in it and know, I've been with God. But to say, I have seen God in His true existence would be something that you could never say, because no man has seen God at any time. He's too big to see. Because while we sit in this room, God, the Spirit that made all things, is sitting on you, in you, around you, above you, beneath you, and everywhere you move, you're moving in and around and through God. And so there's no reason for you not to be able to tap in on something good if you really want to, because everything around you and through you and above you and beneath you is God. I'm not saying nature is God. I'm not saying air is God. I'm not like some of the universal teachings that try to tell us that the things of nature, Mother Nature, is God. I'm just saying what the Bible declares, that the Spirit that made all things also is present in all the things that He made. He's everywhere. How can I find myself separated from Your presence? One of the writers said, there's no place where I can go where You're not there. If I descend, or if I ascend as high as I can go, if I go to the right or left, I cannot get away from the presence of God. He's that big, thus you don't see Him. But you better know He sees you from every direction. From the inside out. From the inside out. From the outside in. He sees you from the left hand. From the right hand. From the front side. From the back side. From above you. From beneath you. There's no part of our being that God doesn't have knowledge of. Amen. And the fact that He's there is not just all there is to it. The fact that He's there also brings with that fact that the God that is there is the one that made every fiber, every element, every small thing yet to be discovered in your being. He made it all, and He knows how to fix it all. Thank you, Jesus. He knows how to replace it all if it gets damaged. He knows how to make everything right that may not be right. Whether it be physically, spiritually, mentally, There's nothing that God can't do. And He proved that by making everything that we know of. How can you walk through life without knowing there is a God? Praise God. How can you breathe without knowing there is a God? How can you just exist without knowing that there is a God? The only way a person can say there is no God is to close their mind and to not use reason that is in their heads that they could use if they would. There's no way that you can go through life and say there's no God without just making yourself a fool on purpose. Choosing to be a fool. Everybody that says there is no God is lying to you lying to themselves because they know that there's a God. They just don't want to admit it because it's just not something they can figure out. I've seen too many atheists call on God for me to ever be convinced that all these people say they don't believe in God really know what they're talking about. I've even heard them cry out to Jesus right in that moment of pain and dying. All it takes is just a little extra pain, a little extra torment for a person that's spent his whole life saying, I don't believe there is a God, to cry out to Him and say, oh God, help me. Jesus said, I am the way. After somebody said they had followed Him, I don't know the way. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the life. And so, He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. But from this moment on, from henceforth, you know Him and have seen Him. What's He talking about? He's talking about when you have seen the work of God, you have seen the work of God. Whether it be through Jesus physically walking with you, or through the power of God being manifest in a fiery furnace, or like the children of Israel, they would wake up in the morning and they would find manna, you know, on the ground when they were wandering in the wilderness and there was no place to prepare food and they didn't have any food to prepare. But God, for many years, gave them enough food to keep them from going hungry, miraculously, every day. And every day they were able to get water to quench their thirst. And their shoes never wore out. And their clothes never wore out. For years. Because they were walking in circles because of their own confusion and their own division and their own mindset of troubles that they were looking at more than looking to answers and more of their trying to figure things out if they'd have just trusted the God who had proved Himself. Over and over and over, they wouldn't have been walking in those circles so long. But when you know the way, and when you found the way, and when you're part of the way, when you're in the way, and when the way is in you, and you've got all this stuff going for you, there's no reason to look to the left or to the right and try to find something else, because you're going to end up doing the same thing, going in circles over and over, until you get yourself into a place of being able to focus to the goal that's ahead, and then He'll take you to the promise. Hallelujah. The way you know. Everybody say, I know the way. The truth you know. Everybody say, I know the truth. The life you know. I know the life. Do you know the way, the truth, and the life? Praise God. You got a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Now here's a man walking with Jesus who has been cleansing lepers, raising the dead, opening blinded eyes, setting devil-possessed people free, unstopping deaf ears, healing the sick of the palsy and forgiving his sins. And here's a man that's been following Him, witnessing these things, asking Him, please show us the Father. And that'll help us to be satisfied. If you can't see God in miracles, in healings, in answers to prayers, in things being resolved that you couldn't ever resolve yourself. If you cannot see God in obedience to His Word and finding out that when you do what He says do, the promises that came with His instructions come to pass in your own life. If you can't see God in all that, amen, you just need to be really thankful that He has a lot of mercy. And He's still willing to take some time with us and reason with us, although, you know, He's not debating anything with us. He doesn't have to. The only reason God would reason with us, the only reason He, only reason I can think of that He would put in His Word, come now, let us reason together, is because we need help in our thinking. We need help in our ability to come to the knowledge that's available to us all. We need healing in our minds. Because when we start really reasoning together with God, the best thing we can do to get this all fixed is to stop telling God how we see it and how we believe it and stop praying to God to make things the way we think they have to be. Stop trying to get God to see it our way, because our reasoning together with God means you just need to shut your mouth and stop your stinking thinking and quit trying to figure it out. Once we do the reasoning with God, you'll find that the way to find success in that is let God be your whole reason. Because He's right about everything. He's right about everything. That's why He tells us in His Word, when you pray, pray according to His will. Now, that's misunderstood. People think, well, if it's the will of God, I'll do this. If it's the will of God, I'll do that. If it's the will of God, I'll date that one. If it's the will of God, I'll marry this one. They misunderstand God so many times in so many ways. If you pray according to God's will, it's simply praying, not my will, but thine be done. That's according to God's will. You don't have to ask for God's will when you jump in the car to ask which direction should I turn the steering wheel. You don't have to ask God's will if you should take this job or not take this job. Praise God. Because if you're praying according to the will of God, whatever job you take will be God's answer to your prayer. The fact that you are able to be a child of God and serve Him, then whatever way you take, He's with you there. He's with you there. He's not going to walk off from you when He has a relationship going on with you. When you become His child and you're hearing His voice and you're praying according to His will, not my will, but thine be done, then whatever you are doing is being done in the name of the Lord. Whatever you're putting your hands to, God is there helping you with that. A child of God knows there are some things that we do not do when we live for God. So you're not going to make a choice to do the wrong thing. You don't ever have to ask God, is it your will that I pray? I would pray if it was the Lord's will. Or is it your will that I support? You don't have to pray and ask God if it's His will that you support His church. Is it your will, Lord? If it's your will, I'll go to church tonight. You don't even need to ask Him if it's His will. You just need to get your will straightened out. Lord, if it's your will, I'll get baptized in Jesus' name. Now, that's a foolish thing to say. When He said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And we have all these examples, and somebody says, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do it. That's kind of like, Lord, we don't know the way. After He's over and over, heal the blind, heal the deaf, heal the leper, set the palsy man free from his terrible disease. Amen. Lord, if it's your will, I'll teach my children how to pray. Why don't you just Do what you know to do. As Jesus said, you know the way. The way you know. The truth you know. The life you know. Thank you, Jesus. If this simple few minutes of talking to you, any of you, out there, in here, wherever you may be, if these simple words for just these few minutes can cause somebody to realize how easy it is to live for God, this will be a great moment in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you can come to the knowledge, I know the way. I know the truth. And I know how to live. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known the Almighty Creator. Praise God. But from now on, from this moment on, he's saying something just with these words to let you know. When you're in a point when you're able to have a conversation with the Lord, and you're able to not just dominate the conversation with your words, with your negative thoughts, with your pessimistic outlook, with your way of trying to figure it all out. If you're able to hear his voice and don't close your brain and don't harden your heart, but if you can hear his voice as he speaks to you and says, you do know, you do have what it takes. And let him do the instructing. Let him, even if you can't understand, let him speak to your heart anyhow. Because if you don't understand now, in allowing God to speak with his word comes healing. He will heal your inability to receive his blessings. Thank you, Jesus. As he says, you know the way. Those are words of healing. For you who may not think you know, just quit trying to make excuses and say, I can't figure it out and I don't really know the way. Like this man was saying, Jesus had mercy on him. He went ahead and dominated the conversation. And finally, Philip was able to shut his mouth and listen to what was being said. Amen. We'll all do the same thing. The Lord will make us to be able to know what he says we know. Because he never says anything that he can't make come to pass. Just as he made man to be good, it took several thousand years, but he did give us Jesus, and that was very good. Thank you, Jesus. It might take him a while because of our failures to work it out, but if we can ever get it resolved in our hearts and our minds that right now is the accepted time, then we can hear him also say, from this moment on, from this moment on, hallelujah. You know him and have seen him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When Philip said, Lord, if you show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus' response to that was, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? This is what Jesus said in response to show us the Father. So why do we need to even debate that issue? Why do we need to get on the internet and put rooms all over PalTalk and other chat programs and try to knock each other around because of the way they believe in God? Why do people come up with all these ideas and try to put each other down and show hatred and bad attitudes and bad spirits because somebody cannot see their logic in the way that they have figured God to be through their traditions and through their study and through their thoughts and through their trying to get it all in a way that they could present it so somebody else might see it their way? Why do we have to have all this? We don't have to have it all. If you're involved in that and that's the way you want it, you're going in circles. But Jesus will still keep feeding you while you're doing that. He'll still give you some water once in a while. That's what you're getting a little of today. We're right here. We're a rock in your wilderness. Amen. And right now, you can drink from this rock. You need to stop striking it and start speaking to it and saying, now what do I do? Because there's water coming forth here. Water to heal your thirsting soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, show us. Show us God. Show us the Father. And it'll make us happy. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? In other words, there's really no debate here. It's just a strong conclusion of truth. It's a presentation of the way, the truth, and the life about God. Amen. When you know Jesus, you know the Father. When you have seen what Jesus is, you have seen God. And that's the only way you'll ever see God. Praise God. Because if you're going to see God, it'll be through His power, through things that bring glory to God, through something that God has ordained, instructed, put in place. Amen. Amen. You can see God in most anything if you want to. Because God made a lot of things that are just showing His glory. Praise God. You can look at the flowers and see them as something that needs to be mowed down, and they're just in the way. You didn't plant them, and they got there somehow. You don't know why they're there. Or before you cut them down, take a look at them and give God some glory. You can't make a flower. You can water it, and you can plant it, and you can put it in the proper place where it'll get the right sunshine, but you can't make it. You can't germinate a seed. You can't even make a seed. But you can take that which God has made. And you can do what God has made it possible for us to be able to do with what God has made. And we have learned through the years that you can plant. And you can water. And you can wait. And you can see that things do work, but you can't make the flower grow any faster than it's going to grow. Or you might help it along the way by giving it maybe better climate than maybe it might have outside. You know, you can pamper it and you can work with it, but you can't, if you want it to grow to be 2 feet tall and it's only 1 inch tall, you can pull on it, but that's not going to grow it. You can try to stretch it, but that's not going to grow. But if you'll just wait, hold on, and just wait, and don't try to force it. If it's capable of being 2 feet tall, you just keep on being nice, doing whatever it is you know to do. A little water, a little sunshine, amen, and just let it happen. Just let it happen. One of these days you'll look upon that plant and what you couldn't do will have been done. Thank you, Jesus. The way you know, you might be trying to force yourself or somebody else to see things your way so they can grow suddenly because you want to grow them now. It's so easy for a new person to start walking in a relationship with God after it took maybe 10 years to get them to see this. And now finally they've accepted the truth. And all of a sudden they think everybody needs to see it. Well, yeah, what's wrong with all these people? Let's save them all. Let's go after them now. And they get so disappointed, so frustrated because everybody they talk to, the moms, their dads, their loved ones, neighbors, they say, oh, you've gone off the deep end. Just like they used to say. You've gone fanatic on us. You got mixed up with that bunch. Just like they used to say. I can't believe that you let them get to you. Just like they used to say. But over a process of time, as people were patient, long-suffering, forgiving, kind, loving them even when they manifested hatred and despitefully used us, maybe showed themselves to be an enemy at times. But we always kept the door open for them to find that we still care for them. They can still come back. They can still be a part of this. Over a period of time, if we just do whatever we can do, provide a little water, a little light, just let the light shine. Just let the light shine. Just provide a little bit of nourishment and keep the climate right. Keep that door open. Amen. In time, some of them will start finding the way. Many times they say, oh, let's go get some others to see it now. And, you know, and if they don't see it their way right there, right then, they'll cut their ear off, so to speak. I mean, when Peter finally got converted, he was ready to cut everybody's ears off. Yeah, hey, if you don't see it my way, I'm right. I'm following the, hey, you people, you beggars out there, stop calling out. That's my Jesus. That's my Lord. You want to get right? Why don't you get right? Open your own eyes. And kids are calling on him. Even kids are calling. Hey, look, we left all to follow him. What are you people of the street, you don't have any business here. Peter wasn't fully converted at that moment. He had a lot to learn. Amen. We see young people, and I say young people, many people just new in the Lord, sometimes as they're working their way, they say things sometimes that we accept as, you might say, baby talk. Because babies in the Lord need to be able to express themselves. And sometimes they do, and we know that given time, they'll have a deeper understanding. And what they're trying to say now, they'll look back and say, "That I shouldn't have even said that. I can't believe I said that back then." Because over a period of time, there comes growth. Growth in understanding. Growth in wisdom. Growth in experience. Having been with God so many times. Thank you, Jesus. But it's good for everybody around that may have been in this for a while to go ahead and let the new one have the opportunity to grow just like you had an opportunity to grow. If they don't see things just like you see it now, how you look? There was a time when you didn't see things like you see it now. This is an ongoing process. It doesn't matter to God whether it's 40 years, 50 years, 80 years. All He wants to know is, are you growing? And are you taking what you're knowing and going with that and letting life flow? Praise God. So with God, you know, it's possible that you might live a long time before you become a baby. But if you're ever going to really know Him, you're going to have to become as a child to get in on this kingdom that we're part of. When you become as a child, then you will be given an opportunity to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, to grow in the wisdom of the Lord. And you're instructed to seek after understanding. And you find understanding as you look around with those that have been walking with the Lord for a while. As you look to Jesus, you see examples about you. You hear the word of the Lord. You let things change in your way of looking at things. You let God heal your perspective, your mind, the way you've thought, the way you had it figured out. You say, not my will, but thine be done. And you finally learn to, you know, when you're praying, basically say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Bless my mom and dad and everything else that's wrong in my life. Now I'm through. Talk to me, Jesus. That's what the model prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. Cover all the things in the Lord's Prayer. Whatever words you have to use. But when you get through covering all that, when you get through praying, listen to what the Lord was saying. Take advantage of all the moments you spend in church. All the times you've heard teaching. All the times you've heard preaching. This is not just today only. Some of you have heard hundreds of messages. Take all of that into account, into your memory bank. Some of it must be stored in there somewhere. Say your prayers, say your words, and when you get through, rest in the Lord and hear Him saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Follow me. When you've seen me, you've seen God. When you've known me, you've known God. Hallelujah. Your answers are in the name of Jesus. Your victory is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And don't butt in. Don't butt in. Just let Him keep on talking to your heart. Remember those messages you heard years ago, how He told you to choose the way that you're going to go. This day you need to make a choice. Remember those times you've heard the illustrations and the examples and how that people have been overcomers by the name and through the Word and through the power of God. And remember those things. Don't let it just be you're just hearing right now only what you're hearing now. But take all of what God has spoken through the years to you. Pray your prayer and rest in the knowledge that the Word of God is still with you now. And then let God take you from here to there. Hallelujah. 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 From now on. From now on, Philip. You have seen and you have known. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? All of you believers that are here today serving God, you can also say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That's what Jesus did at Calvary. When I said, God is in you, above you, around you, all over the place. Amen. The only thing that maybe you need to do if you haven't already is let Him, instead of you, make some things happen. Because you are a plant in God's garden. We talk about seeking for the Holy Ghost. But the truth of the matter is the Holy Ghost is not lost. You have the Holy Ghost on you, around you, through you, under you, over you, and all He wants you to do is stop talking and let Him utter syllables to your lips. If you have said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and I want to live for you. And if you have been baptized, you intend to get baptized in His name, according to His instruction. We can pound and beat and roll on the floor and run and jump and buy books and instruct you in all kinds of ways. But the simple answer is just let Jesus grow you from the inside out. And the only reason He put in the Word of God that I can reason, if there is any reason to it, that, you know, the people that received the Holy Ghost spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And then we see writings concerning what this is all about. And it's for a sign that you have received the Holy Ghost. And there are a lot of people who try to debate, you know, based on some scriptures they read without the Holy Ghost. They try to figure things out. Why would Paul say to the church, you know, things that he said about speaking in tongues, I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become as a tinkling cymbal. Why would he say to the church, you know, that if some are speaking in tongues, you know, just limit it to a couple unless I'd prefer that you prophesy. They get the reasoning all this out and they get all this in their mind, they get tangled up and they don't realize that they don't even know God. But the potential to know Him is there. If everybody if everybody would just stop talking for a while and start listening to God without trying to make God say it some way that you think He should. All these denominations would have to, I guess, quit being around because there would be no division in the church. We wouldn't have different denominations. Or if we did, they'd all be just alike. They'd all believe the same thing. Because there's only one church. I often get accused of thinking that I'm the only one that's right and everybody else is wrong. Well, you don't have to accuse me of that. I'm admitting it. We are the only ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. And I don't care if there's a million of us, 10 million of us, a billion of us, or three of us. We who know the truth know it. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody else is wrong. There's not two truths. There are not three truths. And all the different kinds of churches, they're not all going to heaven. Because liars don't inherit the kingdom of God. And when you preach another Jesus other than the true Jesus, you're lying. And when you preach a salvation plan other than one that is prescribed in the Word of God, you're damning souls to hell with your lies. When you're telling people how to come to God and it's not according to God's instruction, you're just leading people downward to a devil's hell. We are the only ones that are right, and everybody else is wrong. And you write that down and tell it to everybody you know and make them tune in to find out if it's true. And I'll tell them I said it. And if you want to be a part of the we, then you do what we do. You see what we see. Oh, we got to see it your way. No, that's not what I'm saying. What we see is the way, the truth, the life. And see, the translators of the Bible, I don't care if they were Catholic or whatever they were, if they were being tortured or whatever was going on in their lives, if somebody even suggested to them, make it look like somebody should see it this way, the translators, whether they knew God and the power of the Holy Ghost or not, did not have the ability to hide the truth. And I don't care which version of the Bible you may find. You can find the truth in the Catholic Bible. You can find your truth in all the revised editions of Bibles. You can find the truth in Good News for Modern Man. You can even find the truth in the Book of Mormon. You can even find the truth in some of the Watchtower magazines. In fact, the devil even tells the truth sometimes. He knows there's one God and trembles. And he will use the truth that he knows. When the devil was tempting Jesus, he tempted him with words of truth, mixed with his own idea of what he thought he owned. You know, in other words, you bow down and worship me and I'll give you the kingdom. I'll give you all this stuff you see, Jesus. See, Satan is a fool. And then he said to Jesus, doesn't the Word of God say thus and so? You can throw yourself down and you'll be all right because the Word of God, you know. So the devil was being sly. He knew who he was talking to. He was trying to pull some kind of a trick by mixing some truth with false ideas. But when you're messing with Jesus, you're messing with the wrong one. And when you mess with the Jesus name people who know Him, you might as well give up your argument because we're right. What really bothers me, and I'll get through here, almost through. What really bothers me a lot of times is to see the people who know the truth have walked in the truth for years, preached the truth, taught the truth, and then they get divided amongst themselves. That should never be. Right now on the internet, we have people that have no reason for this attacking us, attacking our ministry, getting on the internet and saying bad things about us that shouldn't be said. We hadn't done anything wrong. We haven't hurt anybody. Amen. The reason they're doing it, though, is because they got devils in them. And they'll take the fact that they teach Jesus' name and they supposedly receive the Holy Ghost and all these things, and they'll hear us say, we're on television. Well, that makes us, in some people's eyes, that makes us all demon-possessed. But who is the devil here? The one that's trying to take whatever we can with all of our hearts, take the truth of Jesus and say to the whole world, this is for you? Or could it possibly be the ones who dare not do this and all they have time to do is criticize and show hatred and try to get people's minds divided and say, we're not part of that and they cannot have fellowship with us? I'll tell you this, we're all right, and we don't have to get in that fight. And the more they talk about Jesus, the more He gets bigger in people's lives. And the more they persecute the church, and we haven't had any persecution yet, these are just little gnats flying around in our face, and we're able to walk right through them. If we ever have any persecution, it's going to make us multiply and get bigger. It's been proven over and over and over. And if you ever try to tempt Jesus or His people, or entice them with truth mixed with lies, you're going to find out that revival is going to hit, and you're going to stand there, and you might as well get in the revival and get yourself saved, because you don't have a chance of a gnat in a hailstorm. We're right. And I'm closing. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the work. So there's the Lord Himself explaining exactly how it is. You know, and when we talk about what the Word says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Father is in Christ. Christ is in the Father. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. Thus, you are in the Father. The Father is in you. Try making God something different than what He is. You're going to get yourself in a big mess. But stand back and just listen to God as He tries to show you. If you'll let that which is on the inside complete the work. It's amazing how powerful people are to be able to stop the release of the Spirit that is there for you. All you need to do to let God utter the words out of your mouth is stop trying to control what you say. And that's part of the not my will, but thy be done. Because if you repented, if you've been baptized, you're going to be baptized. And you're doing all you know to do. Why not let God do something very simple? Like touch your lips. And move your tongue. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let us stand together as I finish this reading. Amen. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that. They think, well, Jesus said we're going to do greater things than he did. Now, what he's saying is, there are going to be even greater things done in your life because of God's arrangement. Amen. Because of what Jesus is doing according to God's plan. Amen. And making it possible that not only the work that we read about that happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but in a day when 6.5 billion people are on this planet, we're going to be on the internet using the same power, letting God do the same things He did on those streets in Jerusalem. Amen. It's not that the work is greater than in power than it was then. It's just that we have greater work to do, in as much as there are more people in the field to be harvested, and there are more needs of healing. But you cannot run God's bank of healing out. I mean, the more sickness there is, the more bountiful you'll find that there is ample miracle power. Amen. The more people are in trouble around the world and wars are breaking out and things are going wrong, the more you'll find that God's solution is there. Hallelujah. Greater works than these shall you do. It could very well be the reason we're speaking today in Iraq is because one person maybe in a place who will never acknowledge possibly to where anybody would know, but who knows what God would do. And the fact that He worked that miracle out, that we speak in Iraq and Afghanistan with all the ambassadors flying back and forth and all the presidents. Wouldn't it be something to find out in eternity that a few words spoken to some general somewhere who happened to listen for just a moment caused him to hear something that he hadn't heard before, or to think something he hadn't thought before, and make a decision like he's never made before? It might come all the way back to the White House as we pray for our president, as we pray for our senators, as we pray for our congressmen, as we pray for our neighbors and our friends in the country that is called the USA. Who knows what God can do with His Word in just the right place at just the right time. So it's not wasted effort. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. But I know one thing. Wherever it is, God is there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today, in the next 5 minutes, anybody that's having trouble in life, whether you be out there on the internet, watching us on television, or whether you be in this building, whether you're listening on a radio station, whoever you are, if you're having trouble in your life, within the next 5 minutes, within the next 5 minutes or less, you can know the way, the truth, and the life. And regardless of what your struggle has been, from now on, you're going to see the work of God in your life being manifested in everything you do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Simply because you let God be God. Let Him be God. He's going to be God anyhow. You see all these other people being blessed. He loves you just as much as He loves them. Why not get in on it? The only difference to some of them and maybe some of you is the fact that they stopped talking and thinking so much. Maybe you should try that too. You can know God. You can love God. You can have anything that's available for anybody. So, while we wait for just a moment, would somebody like to come forward just on your own without any special prompting and stand here, stand somewhere up here. We're going to have prayer. And during this prayer, when you come up here, if you come determined, I want to walk away today from this place changed, with better understanding, with better knowledge, with better ability to put my problems in the hand of my Creator and to get power over these things. Thank you, Jesus. That's what faith is all about. Amen. If you just come up here, not because you're doing it because I ask you to, but right now I'm opening the door, invitation. If you show up, it's up to you whether you come or not. But for those that come, amen, you will have made put forth some effort to take a few steps. And God sees that. You get up. You go. You pray. We pray with you and support you in prayers. You're the one that's going to get the answers. Hallelujah. Any of you that don't do that, we love you too, and you can get your answer at some point. But we're talking about, is there anybody that wants a blessing now? Is there anybody that's tired of the rat race? Is there anybody that's through with the struggle and you're ready to go from this point forward and saying it's going to be different because God is going to help me because I know the way. I know the truth. This is the life. Thank you, Jesus. Right where you stand, would you just submit all your ways to God? In less than 5 minutes, in 1 minute, let's do it. Let it happen. Receive the Holy Ghost. Get your healing. Get your prayers answered. Get strengthened. Get your strength from the Lord in your innermost being. Release your thoughts unto God. Oh, hallelujah. Let God do something for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you go ahead and call on Him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Out there, wherever you are, whoever you are, call on Him. Sitting at your computer. Why don't you just now, you know, take your eyes off of us. Amen. Take your hands away from the keyboard and the mouse. Don't look at what anybody else is typing in the chat programs. You, right now, make an altar there, right where you sit. Amen. Let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let God fix that problem in your home. Let God take you from this point and make a powerhouse out of you where you can be a healing force for God everywhere you walk. Hallelujah. You can be a living witness, a testimony. That this truth and this life and this power with God is with me now. Everywhere you go and everything you touch. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless His name. Amen. And you prayed enough now to have that victory. The rest of this time should be spent in praise to God. Either you know it happened, or you know it can happen, or you know it will happen. Whatever you think you know, you do know the way. And if you'll praise Him right now, some great things can happen for you. Thank you, Jesus. Worship the King. Praise Him. Magnify Him. Give Him glory. Is there anything you've ever raised your voice loud for because you were excited? Jesus wants more than that. Is there anything about Jesus that's more exciting than something you've enjoyed in life that caused you to get happy? Jesus wants more than whatever that was. If anything ever made you shout, Jesus wants a greater shout. Hallelujah. If anything ever made you jump, Jesus wants a bigger jump. If anything ever made you raise your hands and wave them, Jesus wants more of that than you ever did it for anything else. Amen. If you can know this, if you do know this, what's stopping you? What's holding you down? What's suppressing your worship? It's not God. So give Him your best. Give Him your best.